Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The assassination of President John F. Kennedy 50 years ago this month left a country in shock, disbelief, and as time marched on, awash in conspiracy theories. Nearly 1,000 books have disputed the central finding of the Warren Commission that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone when he shot the president. Today, almost two-thirds of the American public believe that Oswald and his assassin, Jack Ruby, were part of a larger conspiracy. Richard Mosk was a 23-year-old attorney when he became the youngest member of the commission established by President Johnson to investigate the murder of JFK. He's now Associate Justice on the California Court of Appeals. In an article for Stanford Magazine, Mosk wrote that he is apprehensive about the upcoming anniversary, which will again stir up the conspiracy theories that have shadowed the Warren Commission's conclusions for half a century. Justice Mosk, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
You write that you were the only newly minted attorney working on the commission. Generally speaking, what was your role in the investigation?
Well, I was the first newly minted attorney, and actually, I was the youngest when hired. Later on, there was one younger than I. My role was basically to do research and investigation on any topic that any of the counsel on the staff asked me to do.
And I understand that you paid particular attention to Oswald's marksmanship ability.
Well, I found that, of course, he was an experienced marksman. He'd been in the Marine Corps, and he'd been a hunter. And he had practiced with the ultimate assassination weapon prior to the assassination. I also worked on his finances and was able to determine that his income pretty much matched his expenses, which would suggest that he was receiving no compensation from anybody other than that which he received from his work.
26 volumes of evidence, 50,000 pages of numbered documents in the Warren Commission's report. Yet still, conspiracy theories surrounding Kennedy's assassinations have been so pervasive. Why do you think, Justice Mosk?
Well, they're the obvious reasons that the cause has to match the effect in many people's minds. This was the idea that an insignificant misfit could bring down the leader of the free world is hard to imagine. And a number of books were written for profit. Publishers certainly stood to profit from these books. I don't know. It's very hard to imagine. It's sort of like flying saucers or other phenomena that people grasp hold of.
Well, of course, there are many people who would differ with your opinion. I'd like to play a clip. This is from a recent NPR interview with Fresh Air's Dave Davies and the author Philip Sheenan. He's a former investigative reporter for The New York Times. His new book is called A Cruel and Shocking Act, The Secret History of the Kennedy Assassination. Here's Sheenan. He's talking about Justice Warren's decision not to share the autopsy photos from the investigation with the rest of the commission.
Chief Justice Warren actually looks them over. And after he looks them over and sees how horrifying they are, he makes the decision that nobody else will be allowed to see them. That includes the other commissioners and all of the members of the commission staff. And this creates a huge division on the commission. The young staff members, and again, Arlen Specter in particular, protest repeatedly, saying they have to have the autopsy photos because they are the essential medical evidence that will allow them to determine how the president died and who might have killed him. And to the very last stages of the investigation, the staff fights for those photos, and ultimately they are refused. And those photos would remain under seal in the custody, apparently, of Robert Kennedy for years thereafter.
Author Philip Sheenan there, recently interviewed on Fresh Air. Do you remember, Justice Mosk, being points of contention between members of the commission or disagreements about methodology, access, or omissions in the reporting?
There were instances where some members of the staff would disagree with senior members or the commissioners on certain things. But in the end, none of the material that allegedly was withheld from the commission or its staff really made any difference. For example, on the autopsy photos, yes, it should have been made available. I would agree with Mr. Shannon on that. On the other hand, there was sufficient testimony from the autopsy physicians and later access to those photos was given to, I think, up to 20 autopsy physicians, and they all confirmed the results of the Warren Commission report. So in the end, there were differences over methodology, maybe some errors in methodology, but there was no significant consequence, no consequence on the result at all.
How about the sharing of information between the CIA and the FBI? There are a number of people who have come out and said that, well, we wanted to confirm what J. Edgar Hoover, the imperious head of the FBI at the time's belief was, that Oswald acted alone. Did you experience any sort of sharing of information between the FBI and the CIA when you were working on the Warren Commission report?
Well, I don't know what the FBI shared with the CIA or vice versa. The allegations, for example, Mr. Shannon's book, was that the FBI withheld information from the commission and the CIA held information from the commission. It was said, for example, that the FBI failed to disclose its awareness of Oswald prior to the assassination. That may be. That has no bearing whatsoever on whether Oswald was the assassin or whether there was any conspiracy. All it shows is that the FBI perhaps should have been more alert or attentive and may have theoretically prevented the assassination, but it doesn't have any bearing on the Warren Commission investigation. As to the CIA, allegedly withheld information about the administration's, the then administration's activities vis-a-vis Cuba. Again, it would have been preferable had the commission had that information, but even if it had it, there was nothing further that it could have done. I mean, the commission did everything possible to discover any implication of Castro or Cuba in the assassination, and it came up with nothing. And so had it known that Castro or Cuba had a greater incentive, it wouldn't have made any difference in the result. That's the thing that people fail to understand, or these books fail to say, which is there may have been deficiencies, but the deficiencies have to have a consequence in the ultimate determination, and they didn't.
California Appeals Court Justice Richard Mosk is with us. He was the youngest staff member on the Warren Commission, at least for some time, charged with investigating the murder of JFK and also of Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, we were speaking about Sheenan's interview, certainly not the only counter theory that got an awful lot of airtime in the intervening years. What do you think the role of the media has been in this? When does reporting on conspiracy theories become irresponsible?
Well, first of all, I don't think that necessarily those who have what we call conspiracy theories are malevolent or evil or bad. Many of them are honest and have questions and are interested. And so I don't disparage those who disagree with the Warren Commission. As far as the press is concerned, they just report what people say, and then there's no further analysis of it. And it's too bad, but ultimately history books will reflect that the Warren Commission's report was correct, and I believe that Vince Bugliosi, in his really historical and mammoth 17-year investigation, which was in a book called Reclaiming History, pretty much vindicates the Warren Commission.
Well, it is not just, as you say, malevolent people and cranks. Recently, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, told Tom Brokaw that he does not believe, it's his personal point of view, that Oswald could not have acted alone. Now, Justice Moss...
Well, he didn't quite say that. He just said that he had suspicions about it. And He did not say that he had ever read the Warren Commission report or that he had investigated it. This may just be a gut feeling, and that's the whole point. I mean, did he look into it? Did he examine the House of Representatives investigation some years ago and all the results of that? Did he look at all of the National Academy of Sciences review of acoustics evidence? I mean, you have to, in order to come to an intelligent conclusion, you have to have really read it all. You can have these feelings, but it has to be based on something. And from what I heard from the Secretary of State, I have my doubts as to whether or not he's ever really looked into it.
He did acknowledge that. He said, "To this day, I have serious doubts that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, but I'm not going to do more than say that it's a point of view that I have." But still, you know, given the volume of evidence, given the conventions of taste at that time, and we already know that the President Kennedy's personal life was certainly spared from the public eye, can you be so sure 50 years later, with all the players there, that the Warren Commission did come to the best conclusion?
Yes.
Well, you do write that the promotion of false conspiracy theories is not harmless. But scrutiny itself, of course, isn't a bad thing. So how do you suggest people find this balance between healthy skepticism and conspiracy theories about the assassination?
Well, it's, you can't expect the people to go out and read everything there is, and I guess skepticism is fine. On the other hand, we have, throughout our history, had what one historian said, a paranoid philosophy of politics. People have always had skepticism. I just bought a book on the Lincoln assassination, where all kinds of theories have continued to emanate on the conspiracy to kill Lincoln. Various public figures were implicated and so forth. With respect to the sole assassin of President Garfield, for some time thereafter, people suspected some kind of a conspiracy. And the same is true of the assassination of McKinley. So this is not a new phenomenon. People are generally skeptical. On the other hand, when we intentionally falsify history, that's what I find to be disturbing. One can interpret history, but facts are something else.
What then should historians, the media, and the public focus on when they look back at the work of the Warren Commission on this anniversary?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with looking back on the report, criticizing it where it deserves criticism. All I can say is one has to bear in mind that the commission was put together quickly. It operated quickly. It put out a report in 6 or 7 months, and it did the very best it could. And the results have not been really found to be lacking by any serious person, I don't think. For example, in 50 years, if there was a conspiracy, it's pretty unlikely that it would have remained quiet and undetermined and unascertained for this period of time. Things don't happen like that. If there's a conspiracy, there are multiple people involved, and somebody has to have come forward or reported on it or admitted it, and it just hasn't happened. And there's been many investigations since that time, not only by the House Assassination Committee, which, by the way, supported all of the findings with the exception of one. They concluded that there was some acoustics evidence which suggested there was another bullet fired, which would suggest that there was another shooter. Shortly thereafter, the National Academy of Sciences said that that acoustics evidence was wrong. You've had all these, and you've had the Department of Justice has conducted a further investigation. Nothing has turned up.
Richard Mosk, an associate justice on the California Court of Appeals and former staff member on the Warren Commission, thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Now, you can link to read his article for Stanford Magazine. It is called "Truth Was Our Only Client." That link is at wordofmouthradio.org. There's more word of mouth coming right after the break. Please stay with us.
Mm-hmm.